Matthew chapter number 9. And we want to preach to you this morning on the subject of the work of the mission. The work of the mission. We looked last Sunday, amen, at the message of the mission, and we preached that, amen, as Paul did, he preached that it was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this morning we look here at the work of the mission, and we read in the book of Matthew, chapter number 9, in verse number 36, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. We thank You for this day, this time, and ask You to help us this morning that we might be an able minister of the Word of God. I pray that You'd speak to us, Father, by the Word, and that it would just find that good ground in our hearts to bring forth much fruit to the glory of God. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The work of the mission. Oh my, you mean there's work to do? I had somebody, I won't call no names, tell me just yesterday, "Is there anything else to tote?" No, there ain't nothing else to tote. We done. But amen. God help us all at some time and some points. Amen. We wonder if, is there something else we got to do? Do they want me to do something more? Well, amen, there's a lot to be done. There's a lot that needs to be done. There's a lot that is undone. Amen. I'm afraid that when we get to the end of the days, there's still going to be some things that should have been done that, amen, did not get done. And there's some work to do. But we look here at these verses and we see the impression that was made. And we think about the impression that's made. Because what did they see? They saw a great multitude. They saw a big crowd. Big crowd of folks. I mean, listen, you know, when we gather up and we come to God's house, I mean, what's the preacher want to see? What's the church members want to see? Well, we'd like to see a big crowd, a good group of folks to come to God's house. And so the great crowds that we see, they may excite us. I mean, I know that we go to ball games in the home team, you know what they want? They want a big crowd of home folks. Amen. To cheer them on. Amen. To help them. And we see around at different places big gatherings and big crowds of folks. And many times those gatherings have a way of putting some excitement into the event, into the air. Amen. There's just an air of excitement. But what do we do with those big crowds? Wherever we find them, when we think of man's religious experience, when we think of the salvation of man's souls, and when we think of where do they stand before God? That very same crowd that brought excitement, amen, may actually bring a sense of depression, a fearful thinking of what it would be if the Lord were to return at this very moment. Where would these individuals, where would these souls, amen, spend eternity? How many of these great crowds that we see that they know nothing of the redeeming love of Christ, amen, and of the elevated position of the Christian as in the government of God? It'll change the way that we view things and we see things. We see, amen, even this morning as we were on the way to church and we come by and there was some folks out early this morning that was playing tennis. Amen, I used to play a little tennis. Boy, that got a chuckle from my wife, didn't it? Amen. Amen. Now she's going to get tickled and have to leave church. Amen. But I say used to because see, you know, in tennis you can have doubles. Well, amen, if I was going to play tennis, there'd probably need to be four or five of us out there on one side. I mean, if they all moved around like I do. Amen. Now then, I said that to say this, that there's many things that men are interested in this morning, but it does not seem that God and salvation of their very souls is one of them. It seems that it's very lacking. But when we look here at this great multitude of people that were gathered, we see immediately the impression that it had upon Jesus. The impression that it had upon Jesus. First of all, he had a sympathy with the great multitudes that gathered with their bodily needs. He cared about the things that people needed. Jesus did. And guess what? Amen. God still cares today about the things that people need. We find, amen, if we turn over just a few pages in Matthew chapter 14, and we can find here, and we can see Jesus' concern for the needs of people. In Matthew chapter 14, and we'll read in verse number 16, it tells us, "But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me." There's a great multitude, and they gathered up, and they've been there for some time. Jesus knew that they were hungry. He knew that they needed something to eat. Their body needed some nourishment. And he says as such, but they told Jesus that, amen, we've only got five loaves and two fishes. Amen, you know what? What's that amongst so many? But Jesus said, bring it here. Jesus said, bring it here. And we read in verse 20, "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 basketfuls. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Jesus cared about their physical needs, their bodily needs. And he said, amen, they're hungry. We've only got five loaves and two fish. Bring it here. What happened? Jesus broke it. He blessed it. And amen, he distributed to them. Pretty good crowd of folks. 5,000 men, besides the women and children. That was a lot of folks. That was a big fish cooking, amen. And they sat them down. And what did it say that they did? It said every person there ate. How much did they eat? They, everyone ate until they were full. Until they were full. And Jesus said, take up what's left. How in the world could there be some left? Because it's Jesus that's doing the providing. And so we see him when he saw these great multitudes, he cared for their bodily needs, their physical needs. But also in our text verse, we see that Jesus had compassion for their souls. In verse number 36 of chapter 9 there that we read, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." He saw their condition. They were as sheep that did not have a shepherd. Amen. They were in trouble. I mean, they were in need. Sheep are the most helpless animals. And amen, they need a shepherd. They need some help. They're prone to wander. There's a lot of things that can happen to sheep. And Jesus looked at this multitude of people and he had compassion on them because he saw a picture of what they were like. They're like a sheep that don't have a shepherd. Amen. They don't know where to eat. They're not being tended to. They're not being taken care of. And they're suffering. And he had compassion upon them because, amen, of the multitude and how many it was that was in such trouble that was wandering away. The Bible says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And Jesus saw, amen, all of this. But thirdly, here the impression that it made on Jesus was that the Lord seemed to have a special distress because it seemed that men care more for the body, the flesh. They're ready to sacrifice much for the individual person, for their physical needs and wants and desires. But yet, they have no thought for their soul. They think about temporary things, and amen, but they don't think about eternal things. Amen. They take care of the body, but they leave the soul undone. And this, amen, caused Jesus to look upon these multitudes and these gatherings with a compassionate heart, with a loving heart, amen, but also with a broken heart. You see, Jesus said in the book of Luke, chapter number 12, in verse number 23, the life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. Life is more than the physical things that we see. We sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll make it out to be like it's just almost everything. And what happens to us sometimes is we just get things out of perspective. We get them out of perspective and we put them in the wrong places. You know, that's happened to me before about different things. And boy, things that I enjoy, and it kind of get skewed a little bit. You know, we get upset and different things happen, and then all of a sudden something happens. Maybe it's the phone rings with some bad news that we wasn't expecting, or we hear... And all of a sudden, those things that we thought was just, you know, life and death, we realized that they really didn't matter that much at all in comparison to eternal things, to things that mattered. And so that's why this verse tells us that life is more than meat and the body's more than raiment. And Jesus saw these people, and yet this was their main concern. Just food and raiment. Just getting in this world. Let's just see what we can get. But Jesus saw more, and amen, and he was moved. And I pray God help us when we see the multitudes. And amen, we can see them. We may see them at ball games around here that we go to. We may see them at events. We may see them at church we wear. But amen, but God help us to have a compassion for the multitudes. We may see them on the TV news, in the foreign lands, in the foreign countries. Amen. And things happening and going on. Amen. God, let us be moved by the things that we see. And God, help us to do what? To do what we can. I can't tell you what to do. Amen. God knows what you need to do. God knows the direction that we need to go. Amen. Whether it be down on our knees and praying, whether it be sending support, whether, amen, it be just sending an encouraging letter, whether it be, amen, a phone call, taking food, doing things, whether it be just going by and telling somebody and introducing them and asking them, amen, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. God help us. That there's plenty of work to be done. God help us to be about the Father's business. So this was the impression that was made upon Jesus, and God help us when we see what kind of impression it makes upon us. But secondly here, we see some lessons for the disciples. Some lessons for the disciples. And the first lesson was that there was abundant room for spiritual work. Abundant room for spiritual work. a great work of spiritual harvest needed to be done. But what happened? Jesus said, but the laborers are few. And the problem has persisted even until this very day. There's a lot that needs to be done. It was so in that time that Jesus spoke to the disciples, and it's that so, it's still the same today. It always seems that the workload, amen, is greater than the laborers. That the laborers have always been few. And there's much work to do. And God help us, it's supposed to be working. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, as Christians, in the spiritual vineyard of God, and amen, in the spiritual work that God has for us to do, will be like this little plaque that I saw years and years ago. A little man sitting down with his legs crossed, and he's just staring. And he said, you know, work fascinates me. I could sit and stare at it for hours. Amen. Sometimes that's what we do as church folks and as Christians. We know there's plenty to do. And we talk about it a lot. And we stare at it a lot. But we just don't get much of it done. It fascinates us. Amen. God, help us to know that there is an abundant room for spiritual work. And amen, sometimes it can start with the simplest of things. Sometimes it can start just with the very fact that, amen, that you invite your neighbor to church. Amen, that can be the beginning. Sometimes it can be that somebody, amen, is in a certain situation and you just simply ask them, amen, can I pray for you? Amen. That's where it can begin. Amen. It may grow. But listen, there's plenty of spiritual work to be done. Yes, God calls for some, amen, to leave behind and to sell everything that they have in the land where they are and go across the seas and places to take and to preach and to teach the gospel and to serve. And amen. And God, if you call us to that, God, help us to answer. But God, you know where I'm at right now. And what can I just do today? As I sat in church on this Sunday morning and I looked awake to a brand new week, God, what is it that I'm going to get opportunity to do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? God, help me to work. Help me to do. Help me to see the spiritual need that's before me. And God, though I feel insufficient to do anything, God, just help me to do what you want me to do. Help me to serve. And so there was an abundant room for spiritual work, was a lesson for the disciples. And also that the multitude of men form the Lord's harvest field. Where's the harvest field? Amen. I don't know where you come from this morning. Amen. It's about 15 minutes for me driving down. Some of you is a lot closer, some of you a little bit farther away. But amen, as you drive by and you see all the houses and all the places, and we get out and we go around and we see mankind everywhere we go, guess what? That's the field. That's the harvest field. Amen. That the multitude of mankind forms, amen, the Lord's harvest field. The Bible tells us in the book of Timothy, in 1 Timothy, amen, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, in verse number 3, he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That he would have all men to come to be saved. Amen. All of mankind, he said, that God would have them to come to salvation. Amen. So, you know, there's a very good chance that we're going to be somewhere in the field of harvest this week. Amen. As we go and we labor, because, amen, the field is the masses of humanity. Some folks that live in town and in the big cities, I mean the big cities, you know, where everything is just what they call the asphalt jungles. Amen. They hadn't never seen a field. Amen. A lot of them maybe hadn't never even seen a garden. Amen. But it don't matter where you are. Amen. The fields of God's harvest is the mass of humanity. Because see, as we mentioned earlier, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And so there's work to be done. Wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are, there's something to do. And so they were introduced to the Lord's harvest field. And thirdly, they learned that they should think and pray about the vast difference in numbers. The vast difference in numbers. What numbers? The labor. It's like this. It's huge. And the laborers are few. Pray. Pray about that. Pray about the vast difference in those numbers. And listen to hear, amen, God's call to where He would have you to labor in that field and what He would have you to do. In the book of Isaiah, we hear these words from Isaiah as he saw the vision. And in the last part of verse number 8, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8, in the very last part of that verse, Isaiah speaks and he says, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." God help us. The work of the mission. There's a lot of things to do. And I'll be honest, sometimes because there's so much to do, we get overwhelmed with the vastness of the much. And instead of just doing what little we can, amen, we wind up not doing anything. Because sometimes we wonder, well, what difference can I make? Well, amen, you can just make a difference right where you are. I heard a story one time of a gentleman that was walking along the beach. Just thousands of starfish were washed up on the beach out on dry land, and the sun was coming up and beginning to bake them, and amen, they would soon all be dead. And there was one gentleman just walking down the beach, and he'd pick one up and he would throw them back in. And he'd walk down and he'd look at another one, he'd pick it up and he'd throw it back in. And somebody asked him what he was doing. He said, "Well, I'm just saving some starfish." And the man looked at him and he said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "Look up and down the beach." He said, "Do you think you can make a difference?" And he had a starfish in his hand and he threw it in and he said, "I can for that one." Amen. No, you can't make a difference for everybody. The field is huge. But amen for that one. God lead us to that one. God show us that one. Because, amen, can I make a difference in everybody? Paul said that he had become all things to all people, that some might be saved. He threw that one starfish back and he said, "I made a difference for that one." Amen, somebody somewhere in our life, some of us can trace back. I mean, some of it's, you know, it's different folks. But sometimes we can trace back to maybe just one individual that made a huge difference in our spiritual life. And amen. And maybe we hadn't even seen them in years, but amen, we can look all the way and we can go back right there to that certain point, to that certain time in church or Sunday school or Bible school or just somewhere, maybe a relative or somebody. And we can realize, amen, it was from that testimony, from that time that we're where we are today. And amen, what a difference they made in our life. The laborers are few. The harvest is great. God help us this morning and let me, somebody wrote, let me look on the crowd as my Savior did, till my eyes with tears grow dim. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep and love them for love of Him. There's a work for us all to do. With so many perishing around us, let us pray that we might work in the mission field of souls. And we might work where God has put us. And let us be, as we said, Paul mentioned and said, let us be all things to all men that some might be saved. God, let us help somebody. Because this morning, the field of harvest is plenty. It's a big field and the laborers are few. God, let us look on them with compassion and let us be ready to say as Isaiah did, Lord, hear my Lord, send me. As we stand this morning, as we sing, if you have need of prayer this morning, you come.